Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Republican Bruno Barron, Democrat Ron Gibbs, writer Carol Felsenthal, and liberal blogger Georgia Logothites. Our program tonight coming from our home base on State Street, that great street in Chicago, where our phone lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. With just a couple of weeks to go before Election Day, again, a rock'em sock'em 2 hours of discussion talking about everything that is of importance in the campaign of 2008 that is winding down. A couple of big pieces of news over the last several days. Newspaper endorsements, which for the most part don't mean as much as they used to. Some major papers, including the Los Angeles Times, Chicago Sun-Times, and the Chicago Tribune, have come out with their endorsements. The big surprise there is the Chicago Tribune, which has never, ever endorsed a Democrat, endorsed Barack Obama a couple days ago. That got some news and people wagging, although when you come to think of it, I personally wasn't as surprised living in the city of Chicago and knowing that they have been somewhat supportive of Barack Obama throughout his career, so it didn't surprise me too much. And also, one of the coveted endorsements that was still out there, everybody was hoping that they would either go for their favorite in this race. It finally came to fruition today. Colin Powell was on Meet the Press, and he has known John McCain for over 25 years. He has donated to his campaign. He has followed Barack Obama over a shorter time, given the shortness of his career. And Colin Powell, like many Americans, have been looking at the candidates. Perhaps not every American brings an endorsement that maybe is comes with great pluses, as a Powell endorsement might have. And it's going to be one of the things we discuss this evening. But today, Colin Powell announced that he will vote for Barack Obama, and he explained why he's voting for Barack Obama to Tom Brokaw.
I have especially watched over the last 6 or 7 weeks as both of them have really taken a final exam with respect to this economic crisis that we are in and coming out of the conventions. And I must say that I've gotten a good measure of both. In the case of Mr. McCain, I found that he was a little unsure as to how to deal with the economic problems that we were having. And almost every day there was a different approach to the problem, and that concerned me. It's got the sensing that he didn't have a complete grasp of the economic problems that we had. And I was also concerned at the selection of Governor Palin. She's a very distinguished woman, and she's to be admired. But at the same time, now that we have had a chance to watch her for some 7 weeks, I don't believe she's ready to be President of the United States, which is the job of the Vice President. And so that raised some question in my mind as to the judgment that Senator McCain made. On the Obama side, I watched Mr. Obama, and I watched him during this 7 week period, and he displayed a steadiness, an intellectual curiosity, a depth of knowledge, and an approach to looking at problems like this and picking a vice president that I think is ready to be president on day one, and also in not just jumping in and changing every day, but showing intellectual vigor. I think that he has a definitive way of doing business that would serve us well. I also believe that...
That is the announcement today by Colin Powell that he is going to be voting for Barack Obama. Bruno Barron is our Republican tonight. Bruno, how important is that endorsement, in your view, to those undecided voters out there who are still figuring out who to vote for?
To the extent that they're undecided and to the extent that they give a great deal of weight or a lot of weight or some weight to Colin Powell, I think it might have an impact. Colin Powell is certainly articulate. He is what he said there. I disagree with a good chunk of it, but he says it in a way that it's obviously his opinion. So is it going to have an impact? probably a great deal of impact. Endorsements by former candidates or former officials probably do have some impact, but I don't know how great it would be. I think a lot of things in the next couple of weeks are going to be far more impactful on the race.
Ron Gibbs also joins us. He is a Vietnam veteran, and he is on the Veterans Policy Committee for the Obama presidential campaign. Your reaction, you're going to have a different reaction to that, but what can you folks do with that message? He said he's not going to campaign for Barack Obama, but are those words likely to be used in a commercial?
I think they possibly might be. I think the key to this is the timing of the endorsement and the fact that Colin Powell is, as they said in Meet the Press, he has a brand that is independent and that stands by itself. And I think that's going to be very helpful to several constituencies for Senator Obama. I think the fact that when he's a Republican, a former Secretary of State, a former Joint Chief of Staff, adds to that cachet. And I think the key from my perspective in supporting Senator Obama is he talked about style and substance between the two candidates. And he really nailed home that, I think, the underpinnings to where Senator Obama is cool and calm, collected under fire, whereas the lessons of Vietnam, one should be that way, whereas Senator McCain, quite honestly, hasn't been. And to close, I think it's going to be important. One, with veterans, there are 25 million veterans in America. Will it sway all of them? No, it won't. But it's going to hit to a number of them with credibility for the center. Secondly, senior citizens are out there, I think, in Florida, a lot of retired military in Florida, and it'll hit to that state also.
Carol Felsenthal joins us, a veteran writer, author of the book Clinton in Exile, a blogger for the Huffington Post. Nice to have you with us, Carol.
Thanks.
What's your assessment of that time frame that Colin Powell delineated as to what made his decision? It really was the last 6 or 7 weeks. Do you buy that? And,
no.
And would you acknowledge that
no.
some of those things, you know, that has been a bad 6 weeks for John McCain?
Oh, terrible 6 weeks. I thought the financial crisis, John McCain acquitted himself very weirdly and very badly.
Which was the first point he referenced.
Right. Now, Colin Powell has been flirting with an endorsement of Obama going well back behind the actual endorsement. So this has been going on for some months, and I never had a doubt personally that he would eventually come out and endorse Obama. But when the endorsement came, I said to my husband, just wait. The Republicans are going to find a way to use Colin Powell's race against Obama. And you can see there was a statement, an email from Rush Limbaugh released, which gave a hint of this. He said, when was the last time that Colin Powell endorsed an inexperienced white man for anything? That for openers. And if you saw what happened with the Fannie Mae crisis, the commercial that was put up by the McCain people that showed Franklin Raines, who happens to be African-American and was chairman of Fannie Mae. And some people took that to have a racial overtone. I thought maybe it did.
I want to talk give Georgia Logothetes our guest to respond to this, but we're already at the end of segment number one, 1-800-723-8029. Your reaction to Colin Powell's endorsement or announcement today that he will vote for Barack Obama, your reaction to it, 1-800-723-8029. Especially interested in hearing from any veterans tonight. Back shortly from Chicago.
In 15 minutes, you could spend a fortune at the gas pump. You could make yourself sick on beef jerky. You could probably adopt way too many cats. Or, in 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance by switching to GEICO. There are plenty of ways to save. Discounts for being a good driver, multi-car discounts. You could save 15% or more. But if you enjoy spending your 15 minutes with way too many cats, by all means, who am I to judge?
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
AutoZone. Hurry to AutoZone today to take advantage of an incredible $9.99 oil change deal.
Get in the zone.
Right now at AutoZone, the savings are huge when you buy 5 quarts of AutoZone motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $9.99. That's right.
Quality.
AutoZone motor oil and an STP filter for the amazing low price of just $9.99. Now that's a price you haven't seen for a very long time. See store for restrictions and details. Don't miss out on this exceptional savings opportunity. Get to AutoZone today.
AutoZone.
I was there.
From Seattle, Washington to Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. 1-800-723-8289 is the telephone number. We'll take calls in a moment. But first, Georgia Logothetis from Daily Kos, one of the contributing editor, joins us. Georgia, it's rare that we get through the first segment without hearing your take on this. But what was your reaction to the endorsement, and how much weight is it going to have? And speak to Carol's point about whether there's maybe a racial element that will be brought into the campaign now.
Well, I think that, you know, as the other panelists pointed out, you know, is it a game changer? No. Is it worth, though, a few points probably here or there in some key areas of the nation? Absolutely. I would keep a close eye on the Virginia polls over the next few days to see how they move, because certainly Colin Powell, as much as the liberal base may have a problem with him because of his actions in the lead up to the war, he certainly still has credibility with the public at large. And I think that we will see some shift in certain states because of that. Now, as to the point about race, I mean, I find it laughable that every time something goes bad against John McCain, they find some excuse for it. So, for example, with the Colin Powell endorsement, well, you know, he endorsed because, you know, he wanted to back up a fellow African-American. And we saw actually some Republican Party officials at the state level already release, you know, or make statements to that effect. And certainly Rush Limbaugh is pushing that point. But you know, they ignore the effect of the endorsement and the why of the endorsement at their peril, though, because Colin Powell endorsed Barack Obama for the same reason that so many Republicans are rallying behind Barack Obama, and that's because they feel like they have been betrayed by their party, that their party has been hijacked by the extreme right, and that it's not the Republican Party of their fathers anymore. And they are drawn to the Barack Obama's pragmatism, which was the core basis of the old Republican Party. And I think that's why not just Colin Powell, but many kind of old school conservatives are drawn to him.
In going to the specifics of his words today, I mean, he talked about the last 6 or 7 weeks, and he talked about McCain's week, I think it was 2 weeks ago, where McCain said one thing on Monday, another thing on Tuesday, another thing on Thursday, and where he seemed to be, you know, grasping and jumping from point. Now, I think anyone who can have some element of objectivity can say that was not a great week. This was not a week where he demonstrated himself as someone who has a lot of experience, as someone who wants to lead the free world. He looked a little jumpy. He looked a little erratic.
The fundamentals of the economy are strong. In the history of this campaign, that may be the pivotal moment for McCain.
Right.
When McCain
then it was, we're going to fire Chris Cox. And
right.
then it was,
yeah.
by the end of the week, it was, no, I'm not for the bailout. And then he was for the bailout. I mean, it was not.
And suspending
but
his campaign.
What I'm saying is, unless you are an absolute partisan beyond repair, I don't know how any objective observer can look at that week and come to any other conclusion other than what Colin Powell came to. It was not a good week.
Back up to that. I think Colin Powell set the stage. It was that week plus several other weeks that he was looking at. Coming out of the conventions, he hit very hard on his selection of Sarah Palin. He said that she is not qualified to be the number two person in line, clearly. So that you back that up. And then secondly, it is the question of leadership. I think Colin Powell, where he's going to gain so much credibility with independents, is challenging McCain's leadership. And as you're saying, Bruce, the inconsistencies, the flip-flopping here on the economy and other things, that just doesn't make him look stable.
A lot of that stuff is, I think some of it's overstated. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, no, it was a great week and McCain handled himself very well. I think the entire week was a bit of a mess with everybody trying to figure out what was going on. And, you know, suspending a campaign and then going after Chris Cox. All of that, the interesting thing about it, in my view, and what I love about this is I just saw recently, I think it was Friday night, John Stossel talking about how all the presidents are saying, you know, I'll save America, I'll do this and I'll do that. What I think you saw there, whether it was well handled or not, and I'll say that it probably wasn't that well handled, is that beneath all of Barack Obama's articulation and his ability to say things and his ability to look steady that week, the idea that either campaign had a single clue of what needs to be done or why things were going the way they were going or that Barack Obama would handle the economy better than McCain, I think that's the real question here. I come from the right. I don't like the idea of taxes. I don't like the idea of government managing the economy. I don't think I've actually looked at the health plans, and I think that John McCain's health plan is better than Barack Obama's health plan.
Carol, your point.
I think that one could make the assertion that had the economy tanked on November 8th or December, McCain might very well be ahead at this point, and he might have won the election. Mm-hmm. And when I'm writing now about Michelle Obama, a magazine profile of her, which makes me look more closely at Barack, and you see these points in his career where he has been the recipient of the best, most outlandishly good luck that anyone, if you were writing fiction, nobody, your editor would say to you, no, his primary opponent cannot implode. No, his general election opponent cannot implode, both in a sex scandal. No, the economy cannot fall apart weeks before election day.
But you brought up in quoting Rush Limbaugh, you brought up the racial component for this.
Right.
Is the racial component, is that the piece, the one that that everybody wants to avoid? And John McCain has said, you know, he doesn't want robocalls on Jeremiah Wright. He doesn't want to play the right stuff. But those people who want John McCain to win or Barack Obama to lose, who are beyond the control, like a Rush Limbaugh and like perhaps others, can they play their interpretation of the Colin Powell, you know, he endorsed him because he was black.
Right.
I mean, that's the essence of it. Doesn't that have some credibility and doesn't that have some currency within those alleged undecided voters, blue-collar voters, you know, southwestern Ohio, western Pennsylvania? And it seems to me that this campaign is down to Ohio and Pennsylvania. If John McCain can come back, he's going to come back because of about a 300-mile circle around Youngstown,
right,
Ohio.
Yeah.
Well, Georgia.
I don't think the type of people that would be receptive to that argument, to dismiss the Colin Powell endorsement solely on the basis of race, weren't going to vote for Barack Obama anyway. They were not the type of undecideds that were going to be swayed. They're the type of undecideds that were really just, you know, sitting on the back fence until the last minute because they're disheartened with the GOP in general. They were never going to be on board the Obama
bandwagon. What will sway them?
To Barack Obama's side, that certain segment of voters, I think that you're saying, the ones that, for example, let me point out, there was an article about a gentleman in Ohio that hung from his tree a lynched ghost with an Obama sign on it. He certainly would dismiss Colin Powell's endorsement on the basis of race.
Without
He's never going to be a Barack
Without
Obama
doubt.
Supporter.
But who are they? Again, this is that 10% that I talk about every 4 years.
Yeah.
The people that are going to choose this. What's going to affect them? Is Sarah Palin's appearance on Saturday Night Live going to affect them? Is John McCain showing up on the Letterman show going to affect them? How are they going to be? Who are these people?
They're going to be people who are, I saw Newt Gingrich this morning on the ABC this week.
George Stephanopoulos.
And he made a very good point. He said that what McCain's people should be saying now is, if Obama wins the White House, Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi will control the Senate and the House, respectively, and there will be no other voice being heard. And this will go on until 2010, when there'll be a backlash.
These independent voters, Ron, be affected by that? I think that's a very strong message. It's a little late bringing it up.
Well, 2 points on that. I think the independents are going to be swayed by a Colin Powell endorsement. He said, forget about racer. I'm endorsing this individual because of leadership, style, and substance. Okay, so that caters to those independents. To the point you're making, though, where Powell talked about his concern with, as a Republican, is the narrowing of their focus, which to me, with this race card, is going to play with the extreme right, who are going to get mad. They're going to get angry. That's why you see rallies. They say, he's a terrorist, lynch him, or something of that effect. That's the extreme right now, to the point that it's going to energize by this endorsement, and they're going to be forced to play that race card to the right, well, okay? And that's the problem I have with it.
Race is one of those unspoken issues that's a bigger issue in this campaign than most people want to talk about, but there's a whole bunch of other things that people need to keep in mind. For example, let's take this whole economic issue that is, and quite frankly, I agree with you, Carol, if it didn't happen or if it happened on November 8th or hadn't happened yet, John McCain would probably be in a much stronger position right now. But you know what? There is nothing wrong with saying that the economy is fundamentally sound. The last time I checked on the tollway, there were still thousands of trucks delivering millions of goods to people. We're all still at our jobs. The traffic was crowded here. The skyboxes in Bears Stadium are still full. And that's not to say that people aren't hurting, and that's not to say that everything's hunky-dory. But when somebody says the fundamentals of the economy, when someone says fire Chris Cox, that's a little bit like, okay, why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? But when someone says the fundamentals of the economy are basically sound, with unemployment at 7% and not 10, not 12, not 25, they're not wrong.
Yeah, but he also said, remember, economics is not my strong point. McCain said that, right. And it was a ham-handed, boneheaded, as I think Barack Obama
said. On the other
Obama
hand, don't you wish all of our leaders had a little bit of some of that humility? I mean, they're not supposed to have it. No. They're supposed to say they can save the world and part the waters. But there's something you have to admit, as much of a mistake as I would think it would be, and I agree with you, that there's a certain kind of candor there that you should appreciate.
But then point counterpoint, if he said he doesn't know a lot about the economy, but then he halted his campaign to march to Washington to say, I want to solve this problem, and I'm agreeing with you on the earlier point, the campaigns didn't come out with a strong economic position. But you know what? I don't think any campaign could have come out with a position. And I think Obama, again, showed leadership by saying, hey, let's wait and hear what Paulson and the crew have got to say, and then we can react to that.
We got to pause. I'm Bruce Dumont, back shortly with your calls from Chicago.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking Silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things have sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with Silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
AutoZone. Three words can help you save money at the gas pump. Simple tune-up. Or is that two words?
Get in the zone.
Anyway, AutoZone wants you to know that replacing a dirty air filter, changing worn-out spark plugs, and adding a bottle of fuel injector cleaner to your tank can save you more than $250 a year. And replacing a faulty oxygen sensor can save more than $272 a year. So do it yourself with one word. AutoZone. Get to AutoZone today.
AutoZone.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Joining us this evening, we have Ron Gibbs. Ron is our Democrat. He's a Vietnam veteran. He's with the Veterans for Obama Policy Committee, and he was an infantryman in the U.S. Army during Vietnam, where he served in Vietnam and Germany. And also, and again, this is one of his claims to fame, he is one of those who spearheaded the legislation that created the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. You put a lot of effort into it. Congratulations on all the hard work. For a lot of Vietnam veterans, it means a great deal, and I think for the rest of the country it does. So I know you were personally involved in the very beginning of that effort, so congratulations on a great accomplishment. Bruno Behrendt also joins us. He is a Republican. He's a lawyer, political activist. He's with the Illinois Citizens Coalition. He does blogging on extremewisdom.com. He supports the Constitutional Convention for Illinois, has written a book called Illinois Deserves Better, and here's that book. Illinois Deserves Better. Here we go. Here is the book. And also joining us this evening is Carol Felsenthal. Carol Felsenthal is a biographer, and she blogs for the Huffington Post, and she's also author of a book called Clinton in Exile, A President Out of the White House. And Georgia Logothetis joins us. She's our liberal. She's a blogger for the Daily Cause, where she is a contributing editor. She's also an attorney in Chicago and a longtime supporter of Barack Obama. We have lots of callers on the line. Let's go to them right now. Let's go to Donna, listening to us in Knoxville, Tennessee, on WNOX. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hello.
My question is, if Colin Powell and other independent voters think that Sarah Palin is not qualified to be president, how could you possibly think that Barack Obama is, because he's never run a government, balanced a budget, or done anything? I don't know if he balances his checkbook.
All right, Georgia Logothetis.
I find whenever I hear an argument like that, I find it just laughable on its face. I mean, even if you were to ignore all of his years in the state legislature, and putting aside all the committees that he served on in the Senate, this man has run a national campaign. I mean, we're talking about experience dealing with budgets and money. I mean, for example, he's run a campaign that managed to raise $150 million last month. Talk about being able to manage a team. Talk about being able to run an operation efficiently and in a groundbreaking manner. Sarah Palin left her little town of Wasilla in debt. She left Alaska, with budget woes. I mean, this idea that her few months of executive experience as a governor somehow trumps all of Barack's experience as a legislature working across the aisle is just laughable.
Well, what's laughable is that Barack Obama ever worked anything across the aisle. I mean, he has been a rank partisan. He comes back to Illinois and endorses Todd Stroger. If he was a reformer, he would have endorsed Forrest Claypool. Now, that's Illinois inside baseball, but the guy's never worked across the aisle.
Here's my answer to the caller.
If Barack Obama wins, he's qualified. And if McCain and Palin win, then they're qualified. It's not up to Colin Powell or me or all the people at this panel to decide who's qualified to be president and who isn't. It's up to the people. They elect those people, and that's who's qualified.
That's why they vote. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Edward in Chicago, Illinois, listening on WLS. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Only the media cares about endorsements, but really they should be challenging Mr. Obama on a lot of issues, including Mr. Obama getting some of this $150 million from foreign nations.
I think it's an interesting point. I mean, I've read stuff on blogs. Maybe that will be that's the kind of thing that will be vetted, and there are going to be investigations. There's going to be things after the fact. I have to ask. We're all supposed to get moneyed interest out of politics, and here's this guy who's able to pull in hundreds of millions of dollars, and we know this isn't. I mean, this will be a $1 billion campaign maybe by the time it's all over, and the $1 billion came from, the net roots. I doubt it.
Well, once again, we get back to the fact, and sorry to kind of step on the other panelists, but once again, we get back to a positive for Barack Obama and an excuse from the McCain campaign. So Barack Obama raises $150 million. Average donation is still under $100. He had over 600,000 new donors last month. And instead of acknowledging the fact that maybe millions of Americans really do want change and believe in it enough to reach out and get some pocket change out of their pocket, we find once again excuses that, well, it's foreign money, well, that there must be some corruption somehow, because they cannot come to grips with the fact that people want Barack Obama to win. And yes, it's more than just liberals. It's Republicans and independents alike.
Well, I think that this whole ACORN issue is going to be a difficult one going forward.
Explain that to the audience.
Well, ACORN is an organization. The acronym somebody's going to have to help me with. But there have been in the six-figure signatures that have been found to be the starting lineup of a football team, Mickey Mouse, Jimmy John, the submarine shop. And whether or not this is a legitimate argument, there are Republican lawyers right now who are getting ready to challenge the election. It's taking place in battleground states. The closest where we are in Chicago is Lake County, Indiana, but states that are up for grabs. Also, Barack Obama does have a connection to ACORN, a couple of decades
one
ago.
One of their lawyers.
And
he worked on one case for them.
This organization, it's an Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, started in the 1970s, okay? And its mission is not just voter registration and so forth. It does community organizing to help, you know, people in 110 cities and 40 states. I think this is a non-starter to go on this ACORN,
tirade. It may be too inside baseball.
And there's no direct association between the Obama campaign.
There was an $800,000
But the issue is, are they? I'm hearing your story. Is it your belief that they are violating the law somewhere?
No. I don't know. But I know I saw in Wisconsin there were something like 220,000 signatures that they were questioning.
Bruce,
that John Kerry lost the election in 2004, and I think it was a matter of 120,000 votes
in Ohio.
If I may. I started blogging, writing about election integrity issues. This is kind of my forte. This is my specialty. And, you know, watching all of this spin and just outright lies and disinformation, being essentially 24/7 on Fox News and other channels is really disheartening. And this I'll be glad to everybody here about the facts. The fact is that there's a distinction between voter registration fraud and voter fraud.
Right.
Voter registration fraud occurs when somebody goes and fills out Mickey Mouse on a form and submits it. The forms that were submitted to ACORN had a statutory obligation to turn in every single form, whether it said Mickey Mouse or not, to the state. And what ACORN does is it flags forms that it believes are suspicious. So it flagged the Mickey Mouse form, and it flagged a whole bunch of other forms and told the state, hey, we think that these may not be good. And what happens is it's a fraud perpetrated on ACORN. Now, Mickey Mouse is never going to show up to the voting booth. So this idea that somehow voter registration fraud equals illegitimate votes for Barack Obama is a lie. It's a simple lie.
Georgia, here's the interesting thing. You go to Washington State and you look at how the election for Dino Rossi was stolen by Gregoire.
Oh, please.
100 or 200 or 500 different votes popping up at the location.
Was Florida stolen? Would you concede that?
No, I wouldn't actually concede that Florida was stolen.
Well, close elections happen. But close elections happen.
Folks, I'm going to stop this election, this battle and this election over this. We're going to go to Sam in Knoxville, Tennessee, to get back on track about this election coming up, and hopefully everyone who's listening tonight and watching, and they're going to vote. Go ahead, Sam. You're on the air.
Hi. My reaction to this whole Colin Powell endorsement, maybe because I'm young, I'm 20 years old, and maybe I'm ignorant, but when I hear Colin Powell, I think the Bush administration. And when I think the Bush administration, I think a disaster. Maybe it's wrong to link too, but to me, it makes me glad I already voted absentee for John McCain.
Well, that's
okay.
I'm 26 years old, and I agree that, you know, my experience, my generation's experience with Colin Powell, we don't kind of have this history with him. Our recollection of him is, you know, at the UN with the little vial selling the Iraq War. So there are problems with his credibility, and maybe so, especially among, I would say, the liberal base. But for people that have known him for decades in the public arena, they have a different perception of him.
I think he will have to answer to the caller. Impact on veterans, because he is highly respected by the veteran community, and 25 million veterans in this country. Secondly, to seniors in key states where there are retired veterans in Florida and Texas and
North Carolina.
Has Schwarzkopf made an endorsement in this race? Is Norman
no,
Schwarzkopf?
I don't believe so. Has he?
Trump, Powell in some of these battleground states?
Didn't Schwarzkopf, as I recall, he endorsed Bush and 2004.
Yes, right. He's a Republican.
You know what? He's not. I think that Colin Powell is more of a figure than. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't have any military background at all. But Powell, and I don't believe
that Secretary of State, where you know. So that's a big
yeah,
difference.
And I don't
right
believe
there.
That people hold that.
They're both
that
chairman of
the
Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Vial
yeah.
around.
I,
and the, no, and I think they. I think people really admire Colin no. Powell.
I'm less inclined to believe. I'm less inclined to believe that these endorsements. Mean a great deal anymore. I mean, there are a few votes here and there. And actually, to Ron's point, Colin Powell is about as good as it gets at this stage of the game for an endorsement. And Schwarzkopf might be a good counter endorsement. But I think the issue that Carol mentioned is that what Newt Gingrich talked about, whether McCain is able to raise it to a high enough level or not, is going to have to do much more than an
quick
endorsement.
Quick question, then we're going to elaborate. Joe the Plumber. Is there more currency with Joe the Plumber?
I think Joe the Plumber is an amazing plus for John McCain, because what you're getting now are more Joe the Plumbers from other battleground states who say, I'm, you know, really Fred the Plumber, but I'm another Joe the Plumber.
But
you
see not,
that? I want to get everybody's
and
reaction
I think,
to that.
And I also think that the way that the Democrats have gone after Joe the Plumber, show he doesn't have a license, he had a lien, I think it.
We got to be back. I want to hear more about Joe the Plumber and the political influence of him when we come back.
Why does this cough make me feel like my lungs are going to come out of my chest?
Robitussin knows one of the ways your body clears itself of mucus is by coughing. That's why Robitussin DM Max is formulated with a double dose of the medicine that helps your body clear away mucus compared to Robitussin DM, and it helps control your cough. Robitussin knows the relief you need. Robitussin DM Max. Double the strength against mucus for a reason. Use as directed.
AutoZone.
Hurry to AutoZone today to take advantage of an incredible $9.99 oil change deal.
Get in the zone.
Right now at AutoZone, the savings are huge when you buy 5 quarts of AutoZone motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $9.99. That's right.
Quality.
AutoZone motor oil and an STP filter for the amazing low price of just $9.99. Now that's a price you haven't seen for a very long time. See store for restrictions and details. Don't miss out on this exceptional savings opportunity. Get to AutoZone today.
AutoZone.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago, 1-800-723-8029. We've been talking about Joe the Plumber, whether he's really Joe the Plumber, you know how this guy has gone from relative obscurity to being a household word. We have a caller on that subject, and then we will all react to it. Go ahead, Jim in South Elgin, listening to us on our flagship, WLS. You're on the air.
Good evening to everybody. It's a nice show as usual. Actually, I was going to raise 2 points. The Tribune did a hatchet job against Jack Ryan, and that was part of the reason why Brock even got in, as was previously mentioned.
For those listening around the country, Jack Ryan was a Republican running for the Republican nomination in the year when Barack Obama was running for the Democratic primary. Jack Ryan was pushed aside because of a sex scandal. Lost. The Republicans had to turn to Alan Keyes. Meanwhile, Barack Obama emerges as the winner of the Democratic primary, and that's the background on the question you're about to ask.
Well, that was just my comment, and I actually canceled my subscription after that occurred. Uh-huh. But the treatment of Joe the Plumber, here's a fellow that's minding his own business. Barack comes up to him, asks him a question, and when Barack doesn't have his teleprompter, he reveals his true socialist nature. And therefore, the Democrats and the media are all trying to make Joe the Plumber look bad, which to me is astounding.
Okay. I want to give everybody's quick take on Joe the Plumber. Okay. We'll start with you first. Ron Gibbs.
I think.
Real or fake?
A little bit of both. I give him credit for wanting to really go to the middle class. I give him credit to the McCain campaign. Joe the Plumber could have had legs until it got repeated. And I don't think that McCain really answered well how he was going to help Joe the Plumber. And in the end game, I think the Obama plan will help Joe the Plumber better than what McCain was proposing.
All right, let's get your take on Joe the Plumber.
I think Joe the Plumber would have been a great kind of October surprise for the McCain campaign up until he started opening his mouth and he admitted that he would receive a tax cut under Barack Obama's policies. And so I think it ended up being a double-edged sword for the McCain campaign.
Bruno.
I'm sorry, Carol. Go ahead.
No, Bruno first.
Okay. Most of what Jim said, the caller Jim, has already been said. First of all, it's not about whether he was a licensed plumber. I mean, this stuff that they're bringing up, like all of a sudden, if you don't have a license, you can't sweat pipe. I mean, that's ridiculous. And the fact that he owes back taxes, there's a lot of people that are like him, just like there's a lot of people who are kind of like Sarah Palin. It's the kind of the bump that that McCain needs if he's going to win, and he may get. The other thing is the entire exchange, just like Jim said, expose Barack Obama for what he really is, and that
explain to us, in your view, if you're a small business guy,
mm-hmm.
and let's say you're making $120,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and you've got someone who has said that you're going to get some money back, and you're making $120,000 because they're going to take the money from the guy that's making $250,000 and above,
mm-hmm.
is that considered a plus or minus? Take us through that thought process, because there were some people that there's some people who are making 125. They don't care. Granted, they want to get to that 250
right.
level,
uh-huh.
but at that moment in their lives, they don't care whether they're taking a little bit of out of the pocket of the guy who's making 250.
I'm not sure that that's true. I think that at the end of the day, most Americans are anti-redistributionist. We all understand how the government works and how it taxes people. It's a very steeply progressive tax system, and it continued to get that way under Clinton and Bush and Reagan and everybody. It's going to be even more steeply progressive if you look at what Barack Obama wants to do with his tax credits that he calls tax cuts and taking it from people who make $250,000. I think at the end of the day, most Americans are not comfortable with that. Everybody wants a shot at the title, and they understand that regulations and taxations of the rich take away, to some extent, their shot at the title.
Do you agree with what Bruno just said right now? Do you agree with that? And then I'm going to give you your other shot.
Whether I personally agree doesn't matter, but I think a lot of Americans agree with that. I also think that Joe the Plumber opened the door when Barack used the phrase "share the wealth," opened the door to labeling the Barack Obama campaign with what's called the S word, socialist. You hear that?
And the Republicans are starting to use it now.
And welfare. You hear that? Those are loaded words, and I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
They're loaded words, but they're so easily thrown back at the McCain campaign. I mean, you want to talk about welfare? Let's talk about the corporate welfare that goes on under Republican policies.
Yeah, but that's
do you
not
want to
what
talk about socialism?
Minds,
I mean, the socialism concept is just absurd because taxes are a redistribution of wealth. You're taxing the billionaires in this country and using it to pay for roads and streets and neighborhoods across America. Taxes are not bad. Nobody wants to pay them. And Barack Obama gave a fabulous rebuttal to the socialism charge today. And if you have a chance to see it, listeners, go online, catch the transcript. He pointed out rightly that, you know, it's not socialism to ask for people to pay to, you know, kind of support the common good and to pay for services used by all. That's not socialist. That's being part of a society.
I don't think most people agree with that. I would tend to think
but
that...
But wait, look, if can, most people
Georgia,
are not
can,
agreeing with it, then why is Barack Obama leading in the polls? Why do they agree with Barack Obama's tax policies over John McCain's?
I don't know that they do agree with Barack Obama's tax policies over John McCain's.
Well, he's certainly leading in the polls.
He's certainly leading in the polls if you believe the polls, and certainly I believe them enough to know that he has an advantage at this point. But don't make the mistake of believing that the polls mean that they support Barack Obama's tax plan. You've got George Bush.
But Barack Obama leads on the economy.
You,
Carol,
does the image, does the imagery and the ability to craft the imagery of the message that you're debating right now under this visual look of Joe the plumber, the way the guy looks, the tall, big, burly, bald-headed guy, is that the image that John McCain needs to get Eastern Ohio and Western Pennsylvania in the next 2 weeks, in your view? Is that the difference between winning and losing?
I think Barack Obama is going to win this election, but I think it's helpful to John McCain. I think it's nothing but helpful to him if his strategists, who seem to me to be flat-footed, are able to
He's not
to make
capitalizing
it work.
On Joe the plumber the way he should be,
yeah.
Okay? With you making some very good points about the taxation issue here. People aren't understanding it. And
we're running, simplistically,
the Obama campaign, 90% of people will get a tax cut here, okay?
We're running out of time. All of our guests, I'll tell you who they were next in the next hour. If you're watching us on television, we'll see you next week. If you're listening to us on the radio, we got a full board of lights, wall-to-wall calls in hour number two. For those listening coast-to-coast on radio, all the great radio stations of America and Sirius XM, POTUS 130. Back shortly from Chicago, I'm Bruce Dumont.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-38-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the Strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-38-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-38-GO-WIN. Call now.
If you ride a motorcycle, you might be thinking, oi, GEICO customers seem to be having a lot of fun and saving money on their car insurance. But what about us bikers? Why can't we save money? This makes us angry. Let's form a biker gang and go and tell them what for. Oi, hold on, just call it. GEICO insures all sorts of motorcycles like cruisers, street, sport, touring and high-performance bikes. So they're on it. Now let's have a little smile.
Now GEICO offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including motorcycles. Call 1-800-44-CYCLE or visit geico.com.
Hi, I work at the pharmacy counter. Noticed it's cold season again, and many people are spending this time of year suffering from that awful sinus pressure, nasal congestion, and pain. Well, you can suffer through those symptoms, or you can power through them with Advil Cold and Sinus. It packs the power of Advil with a strong decongestant, and it's available at the pharmacy counter. Advil Cold and Sinus. Be sure to ask for it. Don't suffer through your symptoms. Power through them with Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
AutoZone.
three words can help you save money at the gas pump. Simple tune-up. Or is that two words?
Get in the zone.
Anyway, AutoZone wants you to know that replacing a dirty air filter, changing worn-out spark plugs, and adding a bottle of fuel injector cleaner to your tank can save you more than $250 a year. And replacing a faulty oxygen sensor can save more than $272 a year. So do it yourself with one word, AutoZone. Get to AutoZone today.
AutoZone.
The best stuff ever.
Brought to you by Radio Shack.
With a DTV transition, our family's analog TV won't work after February 17th. So I say, have no fear, and head to Radio Shack, where they explain that I can either sign up for Dish Network, buy a digital TV, or use a government coupon to help get a DTV converter box. So I get the box and set it up just as the kids are walking in the door, which is how I get the name Super Dad. And I owe it all to Radio Shack's help.
Go to DTV2009.gov to find out how to get your $40 government coupon. And don't just buy stuff.
Do stuff.
Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with hour number two of Beyond the Beltway. Tonight featuring commentary by Republican Bruno Barron, Democrat Ron Gibbs, Carol Felsenthal. She's a blogger for the Huffington Post and author of Clinton in Exile. And liberal blogger George Ologothides of the Daily Kos also joins us, 1-800-723-8029. We'll be talking about the endorsement on Meet the Press today of Barack Obama by Colin Powell, and getting reaction and suggestions by some that there may be a racial component to this, and maybe this will bring up race as an issue in the closing weeks of the campaign. We have lots of callers on the line. Let's head to Duluth, Minnesota. Charles is listening to us on XM Satellite Radio tonight. POTUS 130. Go ahead, Charles. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to get your feedback on the Acorn issue. You know, I was surprised that McCain made such a big issue of it, since he was a prior supporter of the Acorn organization. And I question whether it's a ruse to, preemptive ruse to sort of negate the article by Bobby Kennedy on the Huffington Post regarding the voter purging that's happening out in the Southwest, voter registration purging.
Georgia?
And I think that the caller brings up an excellent point that McCain was a supporter of Acorn, and he was indeed one of their keynote speakers at one of their events. So he was all fine with Acorn until he started getting behind in the polls and needed to set up an excuse. And that excuse, as he rightly points out, is this idea that somehow the election is being rigged. And the Ohio GOP has robocalls going out to Ohio voters saying that Democrats want to, quote, rig the election. And so this is a distraction, as the caller points out, from some very serious election integrity issues, part of it being voter suppression efforts, part of it being voter purging. There's a lot of legitimate voters that are going to go to the polls this year that simply will not be able to vote because of these types of issues. And that's unfortunate.
Carol, your response?
Well, I know that it's going to give a lot of business to lawyers. No offense,
sure.
Georgia.
Yeah. But no offense,
I know that the Democrats have... I heard hundreds of lawyers who are mobilized and are going into these states, and I think that there is a real fear among Democrats and a hope among some Republicans who see this as a losing race that this will end up being a contested election.
Yeah. I look at this as a sidebar issue with the errors issue, that the McCain campaign, rather than going to talking about taxes and other important issues, we're talking about Acorn. You know, there are thousands of community organizations across this country doing voter registration, and I would wager that if we looked into a lot of them, there would be probably some similar allegations. But so Acorn and the Bill Ayers thing are all lumped together as sidebar issues to the real core issues that we ought to be focusing on this campaign.
I also think that in the debate, certainly all three debates, but I think the last debate perhaps was most egregious, because that was the debate where there was going to be the big surprise, the big mano-mano on Bill Ayers. And then there was also a reference of Acorn during the debate as well. Mm-hmm. John McCain is incapable of explaining what the Bill Ayers issue is. He talked about that he doesn't care about a washed-up radical terrorist. For people that don't know who Bill Ayers is, why is Bill Ayers such a bad guy? He didn't give us who, what, where, when, why. He never explained what was wrong with Acorn. He never explained what was wrong with Bill Ayers. He had, you know, how many million people tuned in? he was, you know, sitting across the table from the guy who he thinks
I think he's
pals around with terrorists.
I think it's a visceral discomfort that he has, and for that reason,
I don't think he believes it. That's the point.
But also when Barack Obama says, I was 8 years old when Bill and his wife Bernadine were setting these bombs, if McCain's comeback should have been, but when you associated with him was the mid-1990s, and you were no longer 8 years old. Well, you were actively involved.
He's not quick on his feet.
There's other reasons for this, too. I mean, the fact is that you haven't heard Barack Obama go after Sarah Palin for obvious reasons. The people who are going after Sarah Palin are proxies. These are proxy issues. They are brought up by talk radio. I think that they do have a certain validity. The caller talked about John McCain once gave a speech at an Acorn function. Fine and good. So you bring that stuff up and you talk about it. But the fact is that Acorn and whether it's Acorn or somebody else, vote fraud is an issue. The associating with someone like Bill Ayers, the left has the audacity to question McCain's judgment in picking Sarah Palin, but they run away from the fact, or they ignore the fact, that this is a guy who sat on a board with a terrorist and used the Chicago Annenberg challenge. The Chicago Annenberg challenge was money that was supposed to go to educating children, that Barack Obama dispersed funds for the most radical. You know, black people ought to be up in arms for not getting an education and losing out on an education, when in fact Ayers is using his Republican, conservative, whatever money to radicalize people and not educate them. That's an issue. And you're right.
And that issue should be taken up with McCain's donor who was part of the funding for that. But going back, if I may, real quick to the issue, Bruce, about how John McCain was so ineffective at the debate in bringing up those issues, and you said that's because he didn't believe it. And that's because these issues are kind of unbelievable. And you're right, he didn't provide the context. I mean, if you're going to give an attack, give a context to it. But he couldn't, because his campaign has taken such a scattershot approach to the issues, such a scattershot approach to strategy, that he doesn't stop, even for a 24-hour news cycle, to focus on one
Ron
specific
Gibbs.
Issue.
Well, I think, again, Colin Powell framed it very clearly today, to your point, succinctly, about the Bill Ayers thing, and Senator McCain couldn't do it on the debate. Colin Powell clarified for the American people that is a non-issue with Ayers, okay?
Who he thought was a reprehensible person.
Right. And, yes.
He did not sugarcoat who Bill Ayers was, right, or all the things Bill Ayers said.
But
the issue, too, I'm going to make, too, is this whole Annenberg thing. You know, if Senator McCain really maintains his integrity of hammering Ayers, you know who has given money to the McCain campaign? The Annenberg family. He should then say, with Annenberg's funding this organization, which Ayers is not, he should give the money back then to the Annenberg family, because they're associating with a terrorist then by funding, having
but
Bill Ayers
Annenberg
on a board.
Annenberg doesn't have his fingers or his mind on where this money is going. The one thing that I don't understand.
Oh, but I believe that Annenberg was alive when that happened.
Yeah, he was, but this is a foundation and it's a local initiative, and I doubt that he was following it. But the one thing that I don't understand is, given that John McCain is so willing to go on and on about Bill Ayers and it's not working and he ought to drop it and Sarah Palin ought to drop it, but, you know, he's reticent, and Sarah Palin has obviously been given marching orders not to bring up the Reverend Wright, which to me seems like a better issue.
I'm gonna just follow up on that. You have just said what everyone in the national media has been saying for about a week and a half now, maybe 2 weeks ago. And that is, the Bill Ayers thing is yesterday's news. It's a waste of time. Sure. It's not going anywhere.
Actually, McCain was right in his description of washed up old rabbit.
But here's my point. Do we, anybody at this table, do we really know that? I mean, my question would be this. Is it possible, just possible, is it possible there are people in the McCain campaign who have done focus testing, and they know that these robocalls, which the national news media is just railing against them on, do they have some evidence to suggest that by playing that card, it may work? That the robocalls on Bill Ayers, that Bill Ayers may be at this moment in time a very successful effort.
You know, and
well, is that possible? Does anybody agree with that?
It's possible. I think it's
all they have right now.
It's desperation.
That's my point.
Because he has no money for advertising.
But
Barack Obama's crushing it.
My point is, all the elites, and I'll put us all in the elites right now, we're all saying what a horrible thing it is. Maybe it's working. Back shortly from Chicago.
You know what it's like.
Coffee.
The morning after aches and pains have kept you up. Tonight, try Advil PM and get a better night's sleep. Better than Tylenol PM because you'll spend less time lying awake with aches and pains and more time asleep. Switch to Advil PM. The difference is a better night's sleep. Use as directed. Brands or trademarks of the respective owners.
AutoZone.
Hurry to AutoZone today to take advantage of an incredible $9.99 oil change deal.
Get in the zone.
Right now at AutoZone, the savings are huge when you buy 5 quarts of AutoZone motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $9.99. That's right.
Quality.
AutoZone motor oil and an STP filter for the amazing low price of just $9.99. Now that's a price you haven't seen for a very long time. See store for restrictions and details. Don't miss out on this exceptional savings opportunity. Get to AutoZone today.
AutoZone.
From Sacramento, California to El Paso, Texas, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. We have lots of callers on the line. Let us go. We haven't heard from El Paso for a long time. Let's go to KTSM, where Steve is listening to us in El Paso, Texas tonight. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Bruce. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I think that Obama needs to spread some of the wealth around and take some of that $150 million he raised last month and give it to the less fortunate parties like the Republicans, the Libertarians, the Greens. And to be consistent, don't you think?
He's going to give it to Bob Barr in Georgia.
He'll give it to him November 5th.
Exactly. Well, you know, going back to the money issue, I mean, obviously Obama's raising an astounding amount of money, but the RNC is not in such bad shape. Let's be clear here that the Republican National Committee historically has blown the DNC out of the water in terms of fundraising. So it's not like McCain is really limping that much here.
Let's go to Sacramento, California. Mike is listening to us on KTKZ, Salem Radio, for the capital of the Golden State. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, hey, thank you very much for taking my call. I heard you earlier talking about the kind of socialist sorts of things going on, that the accusations have been made. Anyway, we out here in California are kind of like the leading edge of, I'm speaking as a one-time very, very, very left-leaning liberal. We are kind of like the leading edge of what's happening if Obama might win. The legislature out here can't do anything but totally spend. 3 months after the budget was supposed to have been made, they finally put something together, and a week later, or 2 weeks later, it was net. And, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. And the bigger question is, we have massive numbers of jobs that have been migrated to Oregon, Arizona, Nevada.
So you're basically saying that California is really the future of what the country is going to be like if Obama's elected.
Yeah, and many. Yeah,
we're gonna move on. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Austin in Austin, Texas. Listening to us on KLBJ. Go ahead.
Hey, Bruce.
Hello.
Yeah. You know, my number one issue is the economy, and I think that there are two types of people in the country right now. Those that blame the fat cats on the fat cats on Wall Street for the economic crisis, and then there are those like me that blame federal government and Fannie and Freddie and the idea of making home ownership an entitlement. And I think that I'm not voting for McCain. I'm voting against Obama because, as a community organizer, he sued banks to force them to make loans to people who were not qualified, traditionally qualified, couldn't make 5% down payment, didn't have good job history, didn't have good credit history. So
let's let Ron Gibbs respond to your comment.
I'm not to the caller's specificity on that. I'm not sure how much Senator Obama, as a community organizer, was involved in that. He did a lot in the south side of Chicago.
He sued Citibank.
I believe the caller's correct on that, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't think that should be, again, looking at the big picture here, that was part of his experience. And I don't, put that right now, as part of the debate we're talking about here for his proposal. So it was something he did as a community organizer. It may not have been correct, and I don't know all of the nuances to it. So if you can elaborate on that.
Well, and I'd love to elaborate on both of the last two callers because they were both very good in making some very important points. Illinois and California both, and the Northeast, are perfect examples of what you're going to get all over the country in a Barack Obama presidency. Now, this is not to say that, I'm right and you're wrong and all these issues and all this na-na-na-boo-boo stuff, but it's very simple. You empower public employee unions to bankrupt states through pension abuses. You empower the poor to get all the money from the rich and to transfer the wealth and to tax the wealth from a lot of people, and you're going to get what's happening in California and Illinois, which is a hollowing out of the entire middle class, and you can see that by the numbers here in Illinois. And Barack Obama's an Illinois product, and a Mayor Daley product, and a Chicago Machine product. So this is what's going to happen. So those two calls were very important. If you're not sure about what you're going to do yet, you look at Illinois and California, and that's what America's going to look like after just 2 or 3 years of Barack Obama.
Let us go to Pete, listening to us in Chicago on WLS. You're on the air.
Hi, Bruce. It's funny how General Powell downgraded Sarah Palin's credibility when it was Vice President Hopeful Biden who voted against this stage of the war that bolstered Colin Powell to become a national hero. It's also kind of funny how the Democrats are the ones that accuse Colin Powell of either being on the take or being a liar in his conclusive evidence that Saddam was an imminent danger. And also, I think this all boils down to that Colin Powell left the Bush administration disgruntled, and he's got some kind of axe to grind with Bush and McCain, and he just wants to stick it to him. What do you think?
Well, I think I think some of that may be true, but I also think that if you look at the at least what he said was part of the deliberation over the last several weeks, I think he crystallized what a lot of Americans have felt over the last few weeks. And by the way, the crystallization that I'm talking about that we used in the first hour this evening, it seems to me that that's a very objective conclusion to make based on an interpretation of the events of the last several weeks.
Yeah, but
in other words, it isn't No. And by the way, just on the issue of Sarah Palin. And by the way, I like Sarah Palin. I think politically, I think Sarah Palin is a plus. I still think she's a plus. But I'm not going to stay here and say I think she really has proved herself well because of the way she was she conducted an interview with Katie Couric. I don't believe she's demonstrated in any way that there's any intellectual curiosity that she has. Is she smart? Is she a reformer? Could she do all the things that John McCain says? Yes, but I'm not going to sit here and in some sort of a blind partisan way to think that Sarah Palin, I will sleep comfortably knowing that she was a heartbeat away if that happened. I wouldn't, period.
Yeah, but I think I may be one of the few people who watched all of the debates on C-SPAN that Sarah Palin had with her opponents when she was running for governor. She was terrific.
Yeah,
I was very impressed. I also interviewed Tony Knowles, who ran against her. He's a Democrat.
I was impressed the interview that she did with Maria Bartiromo on the issue of oil and drilling for oil and energy. You know what? They have never replicated that. They've never put in a situation she could out-talk and out-think everybody on an issue of national importance, and they never let her do it.
She's out of her element. But going back to what the caller said, you know, and we can see people rationalize, Colin Powell's endorsement away one way or the other, and that's fine, and that's obviously everyone has their own position on that. But there are, quote-unquote, Colin Powell Republicans throughout this nation that can't be discredited in the sense of, well, they're supporting Barack Obama because they resonate.
They already crushed that bridge.
Exactly.
They've already made it.
George has said it a bunch of times now. You look at the numbers, and John McCain has stronger support among Republicans than Barack Obama has among Democrats. Now, independents play a big role, but this myth of a very close relative of mine is actually an Obamacan, and it was harrowing to have a debate with him, I must say. But so they do exist. I agree. But this idea that there's all these Republicans who are just flowing over to the Barack Obama side, it's an overstatement. It's good that your side's doing it. It's effective, but it's not really.
But you know what? If it's 1 or 2% and it costs McCain the election, then we'll have a very interesting discussion November 5th.
I want to come on the call. There's concern about, Colin Powell leaving disgruntled and he's unhappy and he's endorsing Obama because of a bad experience. I was impressed by Colin Powell's candor, I thought, by one, admitting that, he gave out misinformation that he was given, okay, and that had he not been there, if you listen carefully, the war would have gone in anyway without him, yay or nay. So he went along, he thought the information was correct, and then having said that, he said, we didn't put enough troops to go in and win the war the way we should really do it, and we got into Baghdad, and oh my God, we didn't realize him. It's a repeat of Vietnam, and have to learn from history. And President Bush, unfortunately, hasn't learned from history. Powell knew that, and I think he left disgruntled because of that point.
I'm going to give you the final word on here, but I'm going to add one more thing, and this was something that Colin Powell did not say on Meet the Press today, but it's something that I believe. I think that one of the other reasons why he is going to vote for Barack Obama is that I think Barack Obama has the courage that Colin Powell never had.
Well, he's got.
I think that's very insightful,
well,
Bruce.
But I don't think Colin Powell has a fire in the belly as Barack Obama does.
He doesn't have the courage. Let me put a finer point on it. He didn't have the courage to do what Barack Obama has done, and he didn't have the courage to stand up
to
George Bush.
To run for president, you meant his speech, because
what I'm saying is. He did. He could have been far more vociferous in his battles, public battles, at the time when the decision was made. That's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm talking about it takes, the discussions about running for president of the United States, mm-hmm. the ones that General Powell and Alma took a pass on, were not the same discussions were had between Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. And it means putting your life on the line potentially for what you believe in. Barack Obama did it. Yes. Colin Powell didn't do it. And I think that's part of the admiration that Colin Powell has for unstated admiration he has for Barack Obama. Back shortly. Thanks very much for your call. Pete, thanks very much for your call as well. Back with lots of calls. Man, we are loaded with calls tonight. More in a moment.
Do you suffer from cold sores? Relieve One Day Cold Sore Symptom Treatment is out to prove how fast it really works. If you suffer from those nasty sores, try Relieve and find out for yourself if Relieve works really fast for you. Relieve is spelled R-E-L-E-E-V. It's easy to find and is in all major drugstores. So if you get cold sores, remember to get Relieve now and keep it ready to use the moment a cold sore attacks.
AutoZone.
Three words can help you save money at the gas pump. Simple tune-up. Or is that two words?
Get in the zone.
Anyway, AutoZone wants you to know that replacing a dirty air filter, changing worn-out spark plugs, and adding a bottle of fuel injector cleaner to your tank can save you more than $250 a year. And replacing a faulty oxygen sensor can save more than $272 a year. So do it yourself with one word, AutoZone. Get to AutoZone today.
AutoZone.
From Riverside, Illinois to Riverside, California, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, every Sunday night from coast to coast and border to border on America's great radio stations, as well as Sirius XM POTUS 130. For those of you who are listening on the satellite tonight, nice to have you with us as well. Around the table this evening, Georgia Logothites is here. She is a blogger, and she is one of the contributing editors of the Daily Kos. That's one of the leading liberal blogs in the United States, and she's an attorney in private practice. Carol Felsenthal is another blogger. She blogs for the Huffington Post. She's also author of the book, A President Out of the White House, Clinton in Exile. And also has done numerous books on Katherine Graham, former publisher of the Washington Post, soon to be an HBO movie, right?
Right.
Are they shooting it?
It's about to start. And
who's going to play Katherine Graham?
Well, that they were casting it, and I'm not certain what the final decision is. But the screenplay was revised by Joan Didion, the best nonfiction writer in the country.
Now, when they take, will you have any input once they start filming, or they just send you the checks?
I'll have a consultant role.
Oh,
and
So you'll invite us to the opening?
Yes, totally.
Okay.
And you know, I never wanted to write the screenplay because it is a completely different skill set.
Sure.
And so Joan Didion, and she's nice. Yeah.
Bruno Berend also joins us. He is a lawyer, political activist, talk show host. He's with the Illinois Citizens Coalition. He supports John McCain. He blogs under the Extreme wisdom.com. And he also supports a constitutional convention for Illinois and has written a pamphlet called Illinois Deserves Better, the Ironclad Case for an Illinois Constitutional Convention. And you can go to your website, which is?
ExtremeWisdom.com, and also Yes for Illinois. And I'm going to be debating here on WLS on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. I'm going to be debating the Illinois Constitutional Convention on Jerry Agar's show.
Okay, that's for those listening to us locally on our flagship station. And also this evening is joining us as our Democrat tonight is Ron Gibbs. He is a Vietnam veteran. He is with the Veterans for Obama Policy Committee. He was in the infantry as a captain in serving in Vietnam and Germany. He spearheaded passage of the legislation establishing the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the most visited memorial in Washington. And in the book, To Heal a Nation, author Jan Scruggs wrote this about Ron. Quote, Ron spent many hours walking the halls of Congress. He never asked for public recognition or acclaim. His only desire was to see the 58,000 inscribed in a place of honor, end of quote. He also worked for the Department of Health and Education and Welfare during the Clinton administration and has been involved in a lot of activities. He's president of the National and International Public Affairs Consulting Firm. And again, my congratulations to you. You saw a dream come true, and it's affected the lives of many people. So
thank
I'm sure you sleep comfortably every night knowing that. 1-800-723-8289. Speaking of serving your country, I served my country at Fort Ord, California, and we used to listen to the radio station out of Salinas, California. Let's go to Salinas right now, where, Rich, you're listening to us on KION.
Yes, hi.
You're listening to the talk station. I used to listen to the big rocker. It was called KDON. It was an oldie station back in the 60s.
Yeah, well, there's a KDON out of Las Vegas, too.
I know, that's a different one, but that was the rock and roll station that I used to listen to doing KP at when I was doing KP at Fort Ord, California in the 60s.
The memories there, huh?
Oh, yes. I always ran uphill. I could never figure out when I was in the infantry in basic training, I always ran uphill. No matter how long we ran, we always ran uphill. We got back to base, but we never ran downhill. Never remember that.
Yeah, of course they don't like to do that.
No.
You roll downhill because you can't walk anymore.
Yeah, I staggered downhill. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a Vietnam-era veteran, too. I never got to Vietnam, but I served 66 through 69. I have a couple. I'll answer one question you brought out earlier, Joe the Plumber. Yes, that does resonate, because all of us John Does out here that aren't trying for the limelight and just want to get answers to questions, when we get attacked like Joe the Plumber has, that kind of gets us our dander up a little bit. So I wouldn't try to do that to too many more Joe the Plumbers, because there are a lot of people who get upset about that. We're out here working our butts off just trying to stay alive, make a living, and we don't need to be attacked like that. That's for the politicians to play with and attack each other.
That's why I think when the media goes after this story, they screw it up. They help McCain. They may be thinking that they're letting the great public know that there's that this guy's a bad guy, but they're screwing up. You're shaking your head. You understand that.
I totally agree. I'm a blue-collar guy. My mother was a waitress, and I can relate to, you know, that audience and Joe the Plumber. But what Senator McCain's got to do, though, is then really put together a vision of how he's going to help Joe the Plumber. And that the symbolism that we're all talking about, whether he was licensed or not, let's forget about it. It's what we're talking about, the middle class here and the working class. And McCain's challenge is to articulate that economic package that's going to help them different than Obama's. Right now, Obama's winning that and providing better assistance.
Carol.
Well, here's the way I look at it.
Carol's got a comment, and then back to you, Carol.
To add insult to injury, some media outlet went, I think, to Arizona, where Joe the Plumber had lived before Ohio, and dug up some more dirt involving unpaid parking tickets or something like that. And it just seemed
Heaven
to me,
forbid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it draws sympathy to him and through him to McCain.
Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, the question I had is, first of all, let me say that I cannot vote for Obama, because this is a guy who wants to run for president and thinks we have 60 states and he's been to 57 of them with one to go, and he's not going to Alaska and Hawaii. And his term of office is 8 to 10 years. And his best buddies out there that want him to get elected are Hamas, Hugo Chavez, and the Castros, and he won't provide his birth certificate. That sends a lot of red flags up for me. With McCain and Palin, I have to hold my nose and vote for McCain if I'm going to vote for him, simply because Palin's on the ticket and she's the only non-professional politician. All the rest are professional. And just one little sidebar, the last five quarters that are issued in that set of quarters, three of them are Arizona, Hawaii, and Alaska. Three of the five of the four candidates.
Yeah. If I may, there was obviously a lot of misinformation in that call, but just as to the issue of the birth certificate, the Obama campaign actually released the birth certificate through our website, through Daily Kos, and it was the original birth certificate, and everybody saw, obviously, he was born in Hawaii and that he's an American citizen. So kind of, if anybody needs documentation on that, please feel free to go to our website.
Go to the Daily Kos, because that's where you release birth certificates. There's a gentleman, I believe, in Pennsylvania. And again, I don't have any idea how credible these people are. I would love to be talking about, the differences between their two health plans rather than this kind of stuff. But I will say this. There's a gentleman in Pennsylvania who's actually filed in federal court, and I believe he has standing, and I believe he has credibility as an attorney, if we agree with him or not. And he's asking to have that produced, the actual birth certificate produced in federal court. And it'll be interesting to see where any of this stuff goes. But these are all the kinds of little things that I think a lot of people here are saying aren't working for McCain. But it's a death by a thousand cuts, and the media not reporting them and reporting things the way they are reporting them.
They reported them on
though. Well, I'm talking about like the broader picture. And the broader picture, particularly with the media going after the, Joe the Plumber and stuff like that. I believe the national media has about the same approval rating as Congress right now.
About 10%?
Yeah. And in terms of credibility. And if you don't think that that's a indirect sleeper issue for John McCain, you're not really paying attention.
No, I totally agree with that, because we go back to the early stages of this campaign, when the national news media was telling us one thing. Hillary Clinton was going to be the Democratic nominee. Rudy Giuliani was going to be the Republican nominee. It was going to be a clash of the New York Titans. You just wait for this race. And then something happened. Real people voted in Iowa. And it's been every Tuesday night, basically, for umpteen weeks. There were many surprises. And then there was the surprise that Barack Obama was going to close it off the following week in New Hampshire, and he didn't do it.
Yeah.
One of the things that I would be worried about if I was an avowed Obama supporter, it would be that in primary and caucus after caucus, several times, about three or four times in this campaign season, it looks like Barack Obama was going to close the deal. Mm-hmm. He's never closed the deal. He always let the opponent get up. I mean, Hillary, to the last, her last breath, he wasn't able to put the closer down. And again, it looks right now, the polls look like everything is heading his direction, but complacency, Democrats, Republicans, everybody knows about turnout, everybody knows about complacency, and I think that what Bruno just said, the other piece of this is the same news media that was telling us that Hillary Clinton was going to be a lock for the Democratic nomination and Rudy for the Republican nomination are now basically lockstep. Even some conservatives inside the Beltway are all saying this race is over. It ain't over, in my view.
Well, you know,
not by a long shot. No. Just to step back to what you were saying, that's why, if you notice, Barack Obama gave a speech where he says, look, guys, this thing is not over. We're doing great fundraising. The polls are looking good, but they're going to tighten up and we need to race through the finish line. We're not going to sit there and kind of strut through. So trust me, the people and speaking to people that are working on his campaigns on the ground, North Carolina, Virginia, they are working like they're 10 points down, which they have to in order to pull this off at the end.
Carol?
Barack Obama has the ground troops to get out the vote in a way that John McCain does not. And I think that will make a big difference. And Barack Obama used a very good word in that speech. He said, let's not get cocky. Yeah. And also, I mentioned before when we were off the air that I last weekend was talking to a bunch of University of Chicago government professors. And they said, one of them said to me, he must be 12 points ahead in all of these battleground states if he's going to carry this off, and because of what he still thinks is a Bradley effect.
What's concerning me here, as we're getting in this last 2.5 weeks, though, is that the shift is going to go from issues to character assassination, and we're all, the birth certificate thing, religion, terrorism, acorns, all these are character association type issues. I hope Obama goes harder after those with the facts to the grassroots network to dispel these
issues. Back shortly
issues.
From Chicago.
I'm here to tell you that Geico.com is easy to use. I bet you already knew that. A website that's convenient and fast. Well, really, had no idea. Of course it's fast and easy. Now, allow me to go off script and tell you why Geico.com is so great. First, you can get a free rate quote right then and there. You can update your policy, make a payment, even report and track a claim. There's the news. There's the big aha. Sorry, just had to get it off my chest.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
AutoZone.
Hurry to AutoZone today to take advantage of an incredible $9.99 oil change deal.
Get in the zone.
Right now at AutoZone, the savings are huge when you buy 5 quarts of AutoZone motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $9.99. That's right.
Quality.
AutoZone motor oil and an STP filter for the amazing low price of just $9.99. Now that's a price you haven't seen for a very long time. See store for restrictions and details. Don't miss out on this exceptional savings opportunity. Get to AutoZone today.
AutoZone.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. We're deciding whether we're going to do another 3 hours tonight because we got enough calls. But for those of us who are following us, by the way, along the network, we're not going for another 3 hours. It was only Ted Koppel could do that. Let us go to Bill in Lakeland, Florida, the baseball home of the Detroit Tigers, listening to us on POTUS XM.
Hey, Bruce. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
My question or comment, I guess, is, throughout the Democratic primaries, and then ever since August 29th when Governor Palin was announced as the GOP vice presidential choice, there's been a lot of scrutiny on experience as an executive officer. And from my reckoning, unless your name's Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton or one of the George Bushes, you don't have that experience. So how come that scrutiny hasn't been put on John McCain? What qualifies him?
Well, he ran. I mean, his point is that he ran a squadron in the Navy,
Yeah, I mean, and the caller brings up, you know, what's typically a pretty good rebuttal to the whole executive experience argument, which is, you know, the top of the ticket on the Republican side also doesn't really have executive experience in terms of dealing with massive budgets and all of that. But, you know, being in the Senate is experience in and of itself, and it's a unique type of experience, I think, and it's an asset for both John McCain and for Barack Obama.
It also is one of the reasons why the American people since 1960 have never elected a United States senator. This will be the first time since 60 that happened.
Mm-hmm. And when you're a U.S. senator, you're away in Washington, D.C., not at home as a mayor or a governor every day, filling potholes, worrying about, you know, the light's going to be on every day in your city. And I think it's a huge – it's a good question, because I don't think Senator McCain brings to the table that much wealth of experience. It's 1 year of experience repeated 26 times in the U.S. Senate, one could argue. And so he's not far that much farther ahead than Senator Obama.
Only 13 times more.
But
13 times more senatorial
experience. But as far as going into being the president,
he was smart enough to marry a very wealthy woman.
Right. But being president, you have to be an administrator, and that's a transition that most politicians, unfortunately, may not be able to make or don't make. And that's what being president is. You're an administrator, and you've got to run a big business.
The one who was smartest was Barack by marrying Michelle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a smart decision.
I also think, and I've said this, you know, in the history of this program, one of the reasons why I like campaigns to be long — most people say campaigns in America are too long, I disagree with that — one of the reasons I like that the campaigns are long is because there are bumps in the road. There are pluses and minuses and ebbs and flows, and that I do believe there can be a correlation between your ability to manage a campaign and the executive experience that takes. And that is a measure of a candidate, because that measure is some example of how they might govern. And in that particular case, if you talk about the management of the campaign, not only the amount of money that's been raised, but, I mean, the Obama campaign has been a significantly better managed campaign than the McCain campaign. McCain, with all the money he had in advance, he ran out of money. He overspent. Then he went down to nothing. Then he's come back. I mean, God bless him that he has an entrepreneurial, you know, spirit, which kept him alive in captivity for 5 years. So there's something to be said for that. But it certainly, I don't think we've seen the measure of John McCain, the great executive, by the way he's run his campaign.
And Obama, we have seen it. This is drama Obama campaign.
Right.
And there's no, there doesn't seem to be any infighting.
Well, it goes to the fact, though, that Senator McCain's leadership style here, again, he is a maverick and he's an independent. Oh, no. And I would wager that he has arguments with his key staff about the direction that they should be taking. And he goes his way. And as we talked about earlier, who made the decision to call, you know, David Letterman canceling? He probably did it on his own. And now, you know, not talking to staff. And that's what you get in a maverick. And I don't think we need a maverick in the White House. We need somebody who's leadership, who's calm and cool under fire, which McCain is showing right now. He's not.
These are all, I mean, this is very much like spin put out there. I mean, you could also say that it's hard not to succeed in a campaign when everybody's angry and have very low poll numbers on the existing president and you're the opposite party. You have slavish media support. You have millions of dollars rolling in. One could make the argument that McCain even being close to being even with Obama at this point is an indicator of how much better he is at running a campaign than Obama is, for having all of these assets and only being, and still not being able to close the deal. I mean, that's my spin.
I'm going to challenge your spin, because we have to go back to the beginning. I mean, granted, you know, he's raised, you know, umpteen million and $150 million, you know, this past month. But we have to go back to the beginning when the conventional wisdom and all of the gurus were saying Hillary Clinton, that this was a walk. Why even get in the race? He got in the race. And this is what we cannot forget. He defeated. You know, a slam dunk, if you will. There's that word again. A slam dunk nominee of the Democratic Party.
Well, Bruce,
and that is a tremendous story.
It is,
even if that's all he ends up with.
That's
a tremendous story.
Right, because of the Democrats' rules.
And I said it off the air. I'll say it on the air. That's because of one key mistake that I think that they made a judgment call in the Clinton campaign.
That's all it takes.
If Hillary Clinton runs the right video 2 weeks before the Iowa primary. She's running against John McCain right now, and Barack Obama's maybe the vice presidential candidate, but probably not. And that is just the kind of and it could have been a good judgment call for Hillary Clinton at the time. But the fact is that to sit there and say this guy's run such an ingenious campaign. I mean, he's run a good campaign. He's had tons of money. He's had tons of support. He's senator here in Illinois because the Chicago
Tribune. He has tons of money because people believe him.
And I think that's something that conservatives underestimate at their peril. They think that, well, there's all this money flowing in. Well, yeah, it's because they're Democrats and because he speaks nice.
No one's underestimating that.
Well, you are right now. You're kind of dismissing the fact that his operation is unprecedented, and he has millions of supporters and millions of volunteers for a reason.
Okay.
And that's more than just kind of, antagonism against Bush or not liking Republican policies. It goes much more beyond that.
I'd like a very excellent point, and I'd like to address it.
You have 5 seconds.
Can I do it afterwards?
Do it off the air. Everybody will have to just imagine what the answer is. Our thanks this evening to Georgia Logothetes and Carol Felsenthal and Bruno Barron and Ron Gibbs. We thank you all. Great job for the last couple of hours, folks. This program is a Genevieve production produced in association with WLS Talk Radio and Larry Kahn. Our thanks to our director, Tom Veracruz, our producer, Ben Stewart. They helped make this program possible. Until next week, at the same time, this is Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest 5-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-38-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the Strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-38-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-38-GO-WIN. Call now.
In 15 minutes, you could spend a fortune at the gas pump. You could make yourself sick on beef jerky. You could probably adopt way too many cats. Or, in 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance by switching to GEICO. There are plenty of ways to save. Discounts for being a good driver, multi-car discounts. You could save 15% or more. But if you enjoy spending your 15 minutes with way too many cats, by all means, who am I to judge?
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm Errol Squires, inventor of Relieve One-Day Cold Sore Symptom Treatment. I invented Relieve because I wanted a very effective, natural treatment for cold sores that worked really fast. Relieve works so well and so fast for me, my family, and friends, I wanted to help other people who suffer from cold sores. I think people are smart enough to know if something works. If you suffer from cold sores, try Relieve and find out if it works for you. Relieve is comprised of botanical extracts and is guaranteed. Buy Relieve now at all major stores.
AutoZone. Three words can help you save money at the gas pump. Simple tune-up. Or is that two words?
Get in the zone.
Anyway, AutoZone wants you to know that replacing a dirty air filter, changing worn-out spark plugs, and adding a bottle of fuel injector cleaner to your tank can save you more than $250 a year. And replacing a faulty oxygen sensor can save more than $272 a year. So do it yourself with one word. AutoZone. Get to AutoZone today.
AutoZone.
The best stuff ever.
Brought to you by Radio Shack.
With a DTV transition, our family's analog TV won't work after February 17th. So I say, have no fear, and head to Radio Shack, where they explain that I can either sign up for Dish Network, buy a digital TV, or use a government coupon to help get a DTV converter box. So I get the box and set it up just as the kids are walking in the door, which is how I get the name Super Dad. And I owe it all to Radio Shack's help.
Go to DTV2009.gov to find out how to get your $40 government coupon. And don't just buy stuff.
Do stuff.